From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture from a biblical perspective. And there's a lot to talk about today, including national news from Washington, D.C. that shine a light on some of our most important issues: life, school choice, and religious freedom. But we want to start with our own state capitol, where the Nebraska legislature is now already one-third of the way through this year's legislative session. Last week, senators reached day 20 of this year's 60-day working session, and it's noteworthy that so far, state senators have only debated two of the more than 100 priority bills, meaning senators will be on a major time crunch and many prominent high-level bills may not be taken up before the end of this year's session. So there's not a whole lot of news as state senators are continuing to hold committee hearings, but they did take up one interesting constitutional amendment from the speaker of the legislature that is seeking to allow voters to expand the size of our state legislature to 55 senators. Currently, Nebraska has 49 state senators, and as a unicameral, we are actually by far the smallest state legislature in the entire country. And this past week, the legislature took up this constitutional amendment. They debated it for 3 hours that is proposing a ballot question that would allow Nebraskans to consider expanding the unicameral to 55 senators. And actually, in the Nebraska Constitution, it's currently set at 50, and we've kept it at 49 so that there is an odd number. And this would allow, if voters approved this constitutional amendment, the state legislature would then have the authority to come back and they could pass legislation increasing the number of senators. This means that future legislatures could add more legislative districts and reduce the number of constituents that each senator represents. But there were plenty of senators who spoke against this proposal, mostly actually registered Democrats in the officially nonpartisan legislature from urban areas of the state who managed to prevent the proposal from coming to a first-round vote. Omaha Senator Ernie Chambers bogged down the debate with a series of motions on Tuesday and Wednesday, saying that Republican backers of this proposal from rural areas were mistaken in where they believed any new districts would be drawn. However, Speaker Jim Scheer of the legislature, who brought forth this proposal, said he'll be working hard to try to secure the 33 votes needed to break a filibuster. And you can keep track of some of the most important bills and pieces of legislation that Nebraska Family Alliance is actively working in support of and opposition to at our website at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. It's a great resource where you can see a list and short summary of the most important bills that would directly affect you and your family. And there are a lot of pieces of legislation pending before our state senators, our representatives, that would directly impact our ability to live out our faith, as well as uphold and protect the right to life. There are bills out there that would completely redefine and restructure the family unit and allow biological men to compete in girls' sports and prevent Christian parents from even being able to serve as foster care parents. And there's bills that seek to end the barbaric practice of dismemberment abortion. And last week, we talked about new legislation to increase school choice in Nebraska and help low-income families be able to send their child to the school of their choice and help increase school scholarships for more families to be able to attend a private school or choose the school that is going to best meet their child's needs. So these are all really important issues that we'll be continuing to monitor and keep people updated on. And we would encourage you to visit our website to stay up to date on all of that information. The reason that we have a unicameral is that the people of Nebraska are the second house, and it's crucial that the people of Nebraska make their voice heard. and that people of faith stand strong in defense of the values that we cherish. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we have a lot to cover this week from our nation's capital. Of course, the biggest news was the United States Senate voting to acquit President Trump of the impeachment charges against him almost entirely along party lines, ending Democrats' hopes of removing him from office as the impeachment trial came to a close. The vote on the first article of impeachment dealing with abuse of power received 52 not guilty votes, with 48 senators voting to declare the president guilty. Every single Democrat voted in favor of declaring the president guilty, along with one Republican senator, Mitt Romney. The president was also acquitted on the second article of impeachment, obstruction of Congress. The vote on that article was 53 against to 47 in favor, with, again, every Democrat voting to declare the president guilty. But on that article, Senator Romney did vote to acquit the president of that charge. Under the Constitution, you need two-thirds of senators to vote to convict the president of the impeachment charges in order for the president to be removed from office. The Senate trial of President Trump came to finally an end after the Senate voted 51-49 last week not to hear from additional witnesses. So now that the months-long impeachment process is finally over, we will see if Congress is able to get back to doing their job in writing and passing legislation, or whether enough bad blood has accrued during this impeachment process to put a halt on possible legislation indefinitely. And unfortunately, that appears likely. But the president last week called on Congress to take action and to do work and enforce and pass important legislation to help American families during his rousing State of the Union address. In fact, the president's address last week to a joint session of Congress was really, I found, to be a soaring defense of many of the core issues that evangelical Christians care so deeply about. From defense of preborn life, the conviction to uphold religious freedom, an ongoing commitment to appoint judges who promise to strictly interpret the Constitution, the president's State of the Union address was sweeping in its socially conservative scope and also emotionally moving on many levels. Surrounded by American heroes in the balcony, ranging from a 100-year-old former Tuskegee airman to grieving parents, a single mom desperate for her young daughter to attend the school of her choice, a brave border agent, a military wife reunited with her deployed husband, and also radio icon Rush Limbaugh being awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom after being diagnosed with cancer. It was an incredibly moving speech and very powerful. I don't think there was hardly a dry eye in the House that night. Yet when a speech is so positive and honoring of so many, how does someone stand up behind the president and rip the speech in two? That's exactly, of course, what Speaker Nancy Pelosi chose to do at the conclusion of the president's speech. And actions speak louder than words. And that action by Speaker Pelosi ripping the president's speech in half, a speech, by the way, that, among other things, called for an end to late-term abortion and celebrated the survival of a baby born at just over 21 weeks, a speech that challenged lawmakers to uphold religious freedom, to help more families ensure a quality education for their children, and honored military veterans and U.S. service members. It was utterly classless. But that is representative of the nature of our deeply divided and bitter state of our government today. And it's sad to see. But the most important takeaway should be those policy proposals and calls to action made by the president in defense of life and liberty, not the classless actions of Speaker Pelosi. And it has to start with the right to life. One of the president's guests of honor at the State of the Union was Ellie Schneider, a girl born at 21 weeks and 6 days old. If she was born just 3 days earlier, she would have been the youngest baby to ever survive a premature birth. Her inclusion in the State of the Union is a powerful testament to life. Ellie, who is now a healthy, beautiful, two-year-old little girl, was born so early that most hospitals in her Kansas City home could not treat her, except for the faith-based St. Luke's Hospital. She weighed only slightly more than a can of soda and was about as long as a sheet of paper. At 21 weeks, she was incredibly vulnerable, but she was a fighter. One of her doctors who worked with Ellie and her parents said that the hospital's success rate for micropreemies, babies born before 20 weeks, is about 50%, which is much higher than the national average, but continuing to climb. She went on to say that Ellie had all of the odds stacked against her, but she had parents that had a very deep faith, and they just continued to believe, and they all kept working and continuing to believe in Ellie, and she did well. And again, this is such a testament to the beauty and the significance of the value and gift of every single human life. So it's difficult to imagine that babies at Ellie's age, and even later, are aborted every single year. These are not just blobs of tissue or clumps of cells, but living individual human beings. And President Trump specifically highlighted this during his State of the Union, and it needs to be shared widely.
As we pray for all who are sick, we know that America is constantly achieving new medical breakthroughs. In 2017, doctors at St. Luke's Hospital in Kansas City delivered one of the earliest premature babies ever to survive. Born at just 21 weeks and 6 days, and weighing less than a pound, Ellie Schneider was a born fighter. Through the skill of her doctors and the prayers of her parents, little Ellie kept on winning the battle of life. Today, Ellie is a strong, healthy 2-year-old girl sitting with her amazing mother, Robin. In the gallery, Ellie and Robin, we are glad to have you with us tonight. Ellie reminds us that every child is a miracle of life. And thanks to modern medical wonders, 50% of very premature babies delivered at the hospital where Ellie was born now survive. It's an incredible thing. Thank you very much. Our goal should be to ensure that every baby has the best chance to thrive and grow just like Ellie. That is why I'm asking Congress to provide an additional $50 million to fund neonatal research for America's youngest patients. That is why I'm also calling upon members of Congress here tonight to pass legislation finally banning the late-term abortion of babies. Whether we are Republican, Democrat, or independent, surely we must all agree that every human life is a sacred gift from God.
Every human life is a sacred gift from God. And I don't know that there has ever been such a strong pro-life appeal in a State of the Union address. That is really remarkable. That should not be lost on us, that the President of the United States so boldly and strongly called on Congress to take action to finally end late-term abortion. And it's so powerful to show the entire country that babies as young as 21 weeks can not only survive, but thrive with proper medical care. It's amazing. And it's really encouraging to hear that coming from the President of the United States on such a big platform, one of the biggest nights of the year, that was a top priority in his speech to Congress. We need to rally around that and continuing to fight to advance the pro-life movement, because every life, no matter how small, matters and is made in the image of God. President Trump also made a big pitch for school choice and urged Congress to pass legislation to create a federal tax credit scholarship program to increase school scholarships for low-income families to be able to send their child to the school that's best for them. And this is a big deal. This is about freedom and choice in education, about putting power back into the hands of parents and ensuring that parents, not the government, has more control over their child's education. We want to ensure that every single child is given a fair opportunity to reach their potential and aren't limited by their zip code and the government school that they're assigned to attend. So this is what President Trump had to say about school choice and creating greater freedom in education for families in our country.
From the Pilgrims to the Founders, from the soldiers at Valley Forge to the marchers at Selma, and from President Lincoln to the Reverend Martin Luther King, Americans have always rejected limits on our children's future. Members of Congress, we must never forget that the only victories that matter in Washington are victories that deliver for the American people. The people are the heart of our country. Their dreams are the soul of our country, and their love is what powers and sustains our country. We must always remember that our job is to put America first. The next step forward in building an inclusive society is making sure that every young American gets a great education and the opportunity to achieve the American dream. Yet for too long, countless American children have been trapped in failing government schools. To rescue these students, 18 states have created school choice in the form of opportunity scholarships. The programs are so popular that tens of thousands of students remain on a waiting list. One of those students is Janiyah Davis, a fourth grader from Philadelphia. Janiyah. Janiyah's mom, Stephanie, is a single parent. She would do anything to give her daughter a better future. But last year, that future was put further out of reach when Pennsylvania's governor vetoed legislation to expand school choice to 50,000 children. Janiyah and Stephanie are in the gallery. Stephanie, thank you so much for being here with your beautiful daughter. Thank you very much. But, Janiyah, I have some good news for you, because I am pleased to inform you that your long wait is over. I can proudly announce tonight that an opportunity scholarship has become available. It's going to you, and you will soon be heading to the school of your choice. Now I call on Congress to give 1 million American children the same opportunity Janiyah has just received. Pass the Education Freedom Scholarships and Opportunities Act, because no parent should be forced to send their child to a failing government school.
And what a moment that was for Janiyah and her mom to find out that they were receiving a scholarship tax credit so that they can send Janiyah to the school of her choice. And there's, again, there's actually legislation in the Nebraska legislature to do the same thing, to create a opportunity scholarship tax credit to help increase donations and school scholarships specifically for low-income families. That's a bill that needs to be passed. It should be passed. This is something that should be supported because every child's education and future matters. And we have great schools in Nebraska, both public and private. So let parents decide. Let parents have the most say over their child's education. This is a bill that Nebraska Family Alliance has been advocating for and is working in support of this session. And you can read more about it on our website at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. And towards the end of the president's State of the Union address, President Trump also spoke about the importance of religious freedom and that faith must be celebrated, not threatened, in America.
My administration is also defending religious liberty, and that includes the constitutional right to pray in public schools. In America, we don't punish prayer. We don't tear down crosses. We don't ban symbols of faith. We don't muzzle preachers and pastors. In America, we celebrate faith. We cherish religion. We lift our voices in prayer, and we raise our sights to the glory of God. Just as we believe in the First Amendment, we also believe in another constitutional right that is under siege all across our country. So long as I am president, I will always protect your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms.
A powerful defense of both the First and Second Amendment from the president. And, you know, I'll also just point out as we wrap up here that I hope people remember the things and the policy proposals that the president chose to highlight and emphasize, as well as the reaction from certain members of Congress to those proposals and to those values that the president talked about. Because our country in an election year is going to have a big choice on the direction that we go. And I and many others appreciated the emphasis on religious liberty and sanctity of human life in President Trump's State of the Union. Support for life, school choice, and religious freedom. These are values Americans must hold dear. That's what we're about at Nebraska Family Alliance, and those are the values that we're committed to defending and advancing in Nebraska. And we'd love to have you join us in our mission. That's all the time that we have for this week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.